For those of us who truly want to fly closer to the flame, we have one last flying lesson to offer: soaring on the wings of praise. Now, I can guarantee if you practice this spiritual discipline regularly, you'll develop your wings to fly higher and farther and closer to the Lord than you have probably ever flown before. Are you afraid of flying so high, of veering out of control and into uncharted lands? I really want you to take heart with this message, because with just a little basic training from the Psalms, we can overcome these obstacles, enabling you to take off and actually fly solo as you soar on the wings of praise. Flight school will be held in the last 5 chapters of God's hymn book, known as the Psalms. That would be Psalm 146 through Psalm 150. Let me read for you from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, sections of all 5 of these Psalms. 146 begins, "Hallelujah! O my soul, praise God! All my life long I'll praise God, singing songs to my God as long as I live." Don't put your life in the hands of experts who know nothing of life, of salvation life. Mere humans don't have what it takes when they die. Their projects die with them. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and know real blessing. God made sky and soil, sea and all the fish in it. He always does what is right. He defends the wronged. He feeds the hungry. And then when we move into 147, it begins, "Hallelujah! It's a good thing to sing praise to our God. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting." A little later in the psalm, we read, "Sing to God a thanksgiving hymn. Play music on your instruments to God, who fills the sky with clouds, preparing rain for the earth, then turning the mountains green with grass, feeding both cattle and crows. He's not impressed with horsepower. The size of our muscles means nothing to him. Those who fear God get God's attention. They can depend on his strength." 148 begins in a similar way. "Hallelujah! Praise God from heaven. Praise him from the mountaintops. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his warriors. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you morning stars. Praise him, high heaven. Praise him, heavenly rain clouds. Praise, oh, let them praise the name of God. He spoke the word, and they were there. He set them in place from all time to eternity. He gave his orders, and that's it." The psalm concludes, "Praise from all who love God, Israel's children, intimate friends of God. Hallelujah." And then the 149th psalm, in a similar way, begins, "Hallelujah! Sing to God a brand new song. Praise him in the company of all who love him." It continues, "Let true lovers break out in praise. Sing out from wherever they're sitting. Shout the high praises of God. Brandish their swords in the wild sword dance, a portent of vengeance on the God-defying nations, a signal that punishment is coming. Their kings chained and hauled off to jail, their leaders behind bars for good, the judgment on them carried out to the letter, and all who love God in the seat of honor. Hallelujah." And now for the complete 150th psalm. You must listen carefully. "Hallelujah! Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with a blast on the trumpet. Praise by strumming soft strings. Praise him with castanets and dance. Praise him with banjo and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah." Few people could express my closing thoughts on the Holy Spirit better than the late, great Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Hear his words. Common to common is the sin of forgetting the Holy Spirit. That is folly and ingratitude. As God, he is good essentially. He is good benevolently, tenderly bearing with our waywardness, striving with our rebellious wills, quickening us from our death in sin, and then training us for the skies as a loving nurse fosters her child. He is good operatively. All his works are good in the most eminent degree. He suggests good thoughts, prompts good actions, reveals good truths, applies good promises, assists in good attainments, and leads to good results. There is no spiritual good in the world of which he is not the author and sustainer. They who yield to his influence become good. They who obey his impulses do good. They who live under his power receive good. Let us revere his person and adore him as God over all, blessed forever. Let us own his power and our need of him by waiting upon him in all our holy enterprises. Let us hourly seek his aid and never grieve him. And let us speak to his praise whenever occasions occur. The church, he concludes, will never prosper until more reverently it believes in the Holy Ghost. Join me in prayer, will you? Good Father, we know of no other words to use in expressing our gratitude than these words we have used. We simply praise your name, not just because of what you do, but because of who you are, which is a far more profound thought. Because you are faithful, even when we are not. Because you are good, even when we fail and are downright bad. Because you are immutable, even when we change and move with the moods of the moment. And Father, because you are who you are and because you do what you do, especially these recent days in our lives, we gather today just to praise your name. Make it a time of inestimable value in our faith as we are strengthening one another in the songs and in the words and in the time of quietness before you. In the praiseworthy name of your Son, we commit to you this time together. Amen. Last Sunday, we experienced a major miracle. This Sunday, we're about to experience a minor miracle. The major miracle last Sunday was the provision of $62,000 plus when we asked God for $50,000 for down payment on our land. The minor miracle is my preaching through five psalms in 25 minutes. So turn fast to Psalm 146 this morning, if you will. And let's work our way through these great psalms, which Charles Haddon Spurgeon called the Hallelujah section of God's hymn book. And I'll tell you why he said that. Because you will observe in these psalms the same beginning and the same ending. In each one of these five, 146 through 150, you will find the same words, praise the Lord. Well, why would Spurgeon call this section the Hallelujah section? Because the words, praise the Lord, are the translation words of the one Hebrew term, Hallelujah. Hallelujah is not an English word, as much as we might like to take credit for it. It is, in fact, a Hebrew term from two words. Halal, which means to boast, to extol, to exalt, Yah, the first three letters that represent Jehovah in the Hebrew Bible. Boast in Jehovah. That's what hallelujah means.
All the way through these five psalms, the word praise appears. In fact, there are 59 verses and 44 references to praise. It is filled, it is flooded with the thoughts and words of praise. Now, we live in a day in which hallelujah has been cheapened by talkative saints. The word has turned into a Christian slang, unfortunately. We, in fact, even use it with an irreverent tone when we refer to something and say, well, hallelujah, that happened. It was never designed for such a profane use. As a matter of fact, it is one of the few one-word exclamations throughout the Old Testament that are designed for specific praise to God. Let's put a checkpoint on our tongue as to how we use that word. We're going to learn about praise in these five psalms together. Now, there's one other thought I want to give you for the whole section, which Graham Scroggie calls the pentad of praise, the last five hymns in God's hymn book. That is, the psalms are all very realistic, but they are joyful. In other words, what I am saying is that those who literally give praise to God are not unrealistic people. They are realistic people who live in realistic times, but their hearts overflow with joy. Now, that isn't congruent as far as human experience is concerned. When under the load, we don't usually praise. But in the Christian way of life, when under the load, God has one formula to keep you joyful, and that's praise. I hope that comes through when you harmonize your thoughts with the blending of God's hymnody this morning, that you realize God has one basic harmony: praise harmonized with joy. Without one, you will never have the other. Let's go to Psalm 146, and I've purposely not given you an insert for your bulletin. I want you to make the notations in the psalm itself. So get your pen handy or your pencil, and if there's just a word or two that strikes a chord in your mind, put it down here by the psalms. For all you know, these may become a quiet resting place for you in the year or so that's ahead of you when we face this program together. Psalm 146 talks about when to praise. If you were asked me to give a title for the psalm, it would be simply those three words: when to praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You will observe that praise is not simply lip service, though it comes from the lips. It is soul service. The psalmist is saying to himself before God, O self, down in the soul, give God praise. That's the thought here. O soul, lift yourself in praise to God. When do I do it? While I live, verse 2. While I have my being, verse 2. In other words, praises are not designed for the dead, but for the living. Not for the unborn, but for the living. I would like to use it even more specifically and say it is for now, right now. Don't think of it like this: oh, someday in the future I will be able to praise the Lord. Or, I remember those days back in 1950, 60. Wow, what great days I gave God praise. That's not the purpose of praise. Praise is built for now. Today, there is only one qualification: that you are alive. Most of us qualify at that point. That you have your being. Most of us, thank God, have our being, have our minds. If you're alive and you have your mind, give God praise. Well, you say, under these circumstances, I can't do that. What are you doing under there? God has designed a life that's above the circumstances. Look down at verse 5. How blessed. The word means happy, and every time it appears in the Hebrew, it's in the plural. Oh, the happiness is many times over is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord. That psalm is directed to those that need help and need hope. Praise is the answer. You say, I'm in need of help, God of Jacob. I need hope. Oh, Lord God, that's the answer for you. Learn to extol the Father. Learn to give him praise. Let me back off and take a moment to explain it, because we are strangers to praise. I would venture to say that it would be a safe guess that the majority of you do not praise God simply because you don't understand it. It sounds Pentecostal, frankly. It does. It sounds unusual because you don't know how it differs from thanks. Oh, but God's written the Bible to the saint, not to a denomination. It's for all God's saints. What does it mean to praise him? To praise the Father means to express words of adoration to him for what he does, for who he is. Self is out of the picture. Praise isn't thanksgiving. When you thank the Lord, you thank him for something he did for you or gave you. You're in the picture. When you praise the Lord, you say to him, Father, I praise you. You are faithful. You are immutable. You are praiseworthy. You come to my rescue. You take care of my every need. You lift my heart with joy. You do all of these things. I praise you for your work. I praise you for your person. I praise you for my life. I praise you for your word. I praise you for your plan. That whole dimension is missing, and it is conspicuous by its absence from our kneeling time. The psalmist says, when are we to praise him? Whenever you need help, whenever you need hope. And that's all the time. That's a marvelous therapy when you're under the weather. Psalm 147 talks about whom to praise. Not where, not how, but whom. 146 talked about when, as long as you have your breath. Psalm 147 tells us whom to praise. Now here is the answer right in verse 1, the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is becoming. Do you know what we just did in the early part of the service brought pleasure to God? It did. He tells us in verse 2 that it's good that in verse 1 that we do that. In fact, it is pleasant and it is becoming. The Hebrew word means lovely. God looks at the praise of a congregation such as this and he says, that's lovely. That's beautiful. Because we are praising him. Now let me level a warning, because it's timely in our day and age. We are so enamored with praising people that to come together without praising people has almost become an unusual thing. God is pleased that we praise him. Read the average church newsletter. Look at the average church bulletin. Listen to the average church conversation. It is shot through with praises for people. Attend the average church service, and you will hear words and people and names given as praiseworthy. Now I realize there are times that thanks and praise is even due certain individuals. But I believe the heart of God must at times be wrung and almost broken that his name is so seldom praised without some person's name attached to it. It's good that we praise our God. It is becoming. It is lovely. We live in such a horizontal lock that our mindset links us only with the praising of people. And I think at times the vertical channel is so clouded, so foggy. As a matter of fact, I believe God gets left with the leftovers when it comes to praise. How much time have you spent in the last week giving him praise alone? Just him. How many of you, when you got the news concerning the provision of this marvelous amount of money, and I commend you for the kind of giving you demonstrated. I think that information spreads like wildfire to saints that are discouraged. So many left on last Sunday night saying, oh, this has strengthened me in areas that are not even related to this church. I needed that object lesson of what God did. I needed that. But I wonder how many on their way home or by the time you got home got alone and said, oh, God, praise your name. Praise your work for what you have done through my hands and the hands of our beloved friends and saints together. You see, he says it is the Lord who is to be given the praise. Verse 2 tells you he builds up, man doesn't. He gathers the outcasts, we don't. We reject them. He heals, we don't. We're only able to do a little surgery and patch it up, but we can't heal. As a matter of fact, he is great, verse 5. Man isn't. He is abundant in strength. We're not. We can last maybe 18 hours, but then we need a little rest. God never has to say, whew, that's enough for you folks right now. Don't ask me for a while. I've got to get caught up on my rest. He's abundant in strength. His understanding, you need someone understanding? It's infinite. That's why when you go to praising the Father, you just need to open the Psalms and read them to him. I prayed with a dear saint connected for many years with what was once the Overseas Crusades. And it was during an internship period where I was learning so many things and I was being made aware just with one shotgun blast after another of those inadequacies and needs in my own life. And I began to have as a prayer partner this dear saint that had been in the Orient more than he had ever been in America. And as I would kneel with him alongside that man, I would watch as he would have his fingers rubbing across the Psalms, as he would literally read back to the Father and quote back to the Lord the Psalms. Do you know there were portions of his Bible that had no print on the page? Can you imagine? He read over that so much that the friction from his fingers just took the print right off the page. Some sections, there were holes worn in it. But he didn't need it. He knew what was there. His book of Psalms looked like a series of tracts. It was all in several different parts. It just fitted together. Giving God praise for what he has said. You say, I'm new at this. Take the book of Psalms. Start in chapter 1. And in your prayer time, read to him the book of Psalms. He loves to hear his word. Do you like to be quoted? Is it an exciting thing to be quoted by somebody else? God's like that. Quote to me what I have said. And when you quote it to him, it brings pleasure to his heart. Better than read it, learn it so that it just comes as part of your prayer life. Give it back to him by the bushels. That's praise. I'll tell you, you will no longer be enamored with man. You will no longer suffer from the ups and downs of people's acceptance or rejection. Your attention is on the Lord God. And I've got some other news. You'll give like you've never given in all your life. The praising saint is the giving saint. No reluctance. My brother is perhaps the best example I've ever met of faith. When he was discharged from the Navy, he was coming back from the Great Lakes area. And on his way down, it was in the middle of the winter, he had a pea jacket, and that was his only coat. He picked up a fellow in Kansas. It was was going to go across that state with him, and he took him right across the state. And by the time they got to the end of the line where the fella got off, my brother had led him to Christ. And the guy got out of the car, and my brother said, "Where's your coat?" He said, "Oh, that's all right. I'll get one later." He said, "No, you need a coat." Took his coat off, gave it to him. Let me let that sink in just a minute, because that's so unusual right there. So the guy put his coat on, and he looked at him, and he stepped on out of the way, and the car drove off. My brother got home. First conversation with my folks. "Hey, son, where's your coat?" "Oh, I gave it to you." "What?" I gave it to a fellow." "Well, who was it?" I don't know his name. Can't remember his name. We met him in Kansas." "Well, you don't have a coat?" "No." "Oh, but Dad, I just praised God all the way from Kansas to Houston for the joy of giving my coat." Not the saint today. Not many of us. Can you give with praise to God that He will provide? The psalmist says it is to God that praise is becoming. Psalm 148 says where to praise Him. Where do we praise the Father? Verses 1 through 6, in the heavens. Verses 7 through 12, on the earth. Look at that. Verse 1, praise the Lord from the heavens. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. Well, that doesn't leave too many other places. When you've covered those bases, that's pretty well it, isn't it? And then it describes the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. We do that, don't we? Take a trip to the mountains. What are you prompted to do when you get all alone early in the morning? Little frost nipping at you. You're walking out and the twigs are crunching under your feet, and you look up at that massive expanse of real estate. You don't say something shallow as you stand there and look at that mountain. You just stand in solitude and you praise Him in the heights. God designed that mountain to do that for us. He gave us the hills not to just walk over or ride over or take photographs of. He gave us those great expansive areas to prompt praise in our breast. He gave us the lakes. He gave us the beauty of this earth to prompt praise to Him. As a matter of fact, there's a great section here. Look at verse 5. I love this, especially for those interested in physics. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever. He made a decree that won't pass away. You wonder, what's the process? Well, when God came to the project of making this earth, He commanded it, He established it, and He set a decree on it. He put it there, He gave it a purpose in establishing it, and then He set it in its motion. The seasons, the orbits, the movements. And He did all of it so that man might praise Him. The heavens tell of the glory of God, and the firmament declares His handiwork. You too busy to realize that? You need a little trip away. A little time alone. Now the exciting part of this is that when God came to that part of making it, it just says He commanded it. Isn't that magnificent? In fact, there's a section in Genesis that says he made the stars also. Well, that's fantastic. You can study the stars all your life and never get beyond the first galaxy or two. It's by the way, He threw the stars in also. You know, that's sort of the feeling you get as you read it. It was nothing to the hand of omnipotence to make the stars. On this earth, verses 7 through 12, it says, from the earth, those sea monsters and the deeps and fire and hail and snow and clouds and storm, they fulfill His word. Give Him praise for the seasons, for the times of the year. Where we praise Him? Everywhere. Everywhere we go. Praise is universal. 149, how to praise. Now, I like this psalm because it has a little shocker in it that I think is good for us. But it's not right away. It prepares you for the shock. Verse 1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. How to praise Him? Do it with a new song. Are you given to melody? Do you write music? Write a song to His praise. It's an exciting generation we're living in which many of the young people are writing new songs of praise. Many of the hymns would not have been known by the generation ago, or certainly two generations ago. It's a new thing. It's an exciting era to live on the cutting edge of creativity, where fresh minds and new thoughts are given to new expressions. And that's the way God would have it. I feel sorry at times for people that don't know how to sing. I know some of you try so hard, and it's difficult for you to carry it out. It's especially difficult for those around you when you're trying to carry it out. But let me say, you don't have to have a fabulous voice to sing praises to God. He honors those melodies of the heart that come forth to Him. I think of those of our day that are so gifted at putting it together. And I think, wow, they must have a corner on praise that just is not experienced by many people. Song is a vessel used for praise. Don't leave singing out of your prayer time. Don't close that Bible and get up and get on your way until you've given Him a song. And now look else. Look also. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Verse 3, let them praise his name with dancing. There's the shocker. Dancing. When's the last time you danced for the praise of God? Now, that's a strange question for a preacher to ask a congregation, isn't it? There are times that you're so overwhelmed with praise that you've got to release it. You've tried singing and it didn't get it all done. You said it and it didn't get it up, so you do whatever it is, you know? You just... Man, at times, last Sunday night, danced all over the living room and the den. It was fantastic when I got home. Wow, it took a dance to get it out, you know? Now, don't run scared. When I was up in Boston, the Old South Church announced on one occasion a service of praise, which they called a dance in the spirit. And it was videotaped, and then it was played that week in the Boston area. And believe me, what I heard and saw was not a dance in the spirit. It had nothing to do with the praise to God. It was a fleshly, carnal activity and nothing more but to arouse the lust of man and woman. But my, there are certain expressions that I don't know how to direct your attention to them or to describe it, but wow, you've just got to get into that. You know, there's a response that comes when you're really exhilarated that is, I guess, best described by a dance. David danced when the ark came. You remember that? Ark came over the hill. It hadn't been there in so long. And he saw it. He pulled his robe up and danced all around. And his wife, sitting up in the window, said, oh, that's a dignified way for the king of Israel to act, dancing with all the people. He said, when I dance before the king, it is dignified. It is unto him that I'm dancing. You see? She didn't get that. She was all in the corner over there criticizing him and fussing about his expression. Now, be careful about doing that in a congregation. You can't just jump up and start doing a dance type thing. That's not the thing. That's not what's necessary. But there are responses that are the praiseworthy people are just involved in them. It's just magnificent. There is a freshness and a freedom that comes in praise times that the rigid fundamentalist never enters into. But I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God prompts you in your prayer time, there it is. And I want to say to you, just enjoy it. In fact, if you want the highest praise, look at verse 6. It'll be in your mouth. The song is good. The dance that is an expression of yourself is good, but the highest praise is from the mouth. You will hear no more beautiful tones than tones that come extolling God. It's a whole dimension that I'm afraid beggars description, and I confess my ignorance in trying to communicate something that is infinitely beautiful. When to praise Him, that's Psalm 146. Whom to praise, that's Psalm 147. Where to praise, that's Psalm 148. How to praise, that's 149. Why praise him, that's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary, in his mighty expanse, verse 2. Because of his mighty deeds, because of his excellent greatness. Circle that verse. His mighty deeds, that's what he does. His excellent greatness, that's who he is. Praise him for what he does. Praise him for who he is. You should sit down and make plans to purchase The Knowledge of the Holy by Tozer, or The Pursuit of God by Tozer, or a good, solid theology on the character of God, so you will know clearly what it is that God is like, or simply a study of the book of Psalms, which is a study of his praise. I'll give you a simple formula, two W's and two letter P's. Praise him for his work and his word. Praise him for his person and his plan. And you've covered the bases. His work, what he does. His word, what he said. His person, who he is. His plan, what he has arranged. And that is praise. Verse 6 concludes the book of Psalms and concludes the message. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When I was overseas, I was working with a man who was under great stress, great, great pressure. He was a maverick sort of a missionary. He didn't fit the pattern or the mold of what you would often think of as a missionary. His ministry was a great deal to the GI, who happened to be on the island of Okinawa by the thousands. In fact, it might be safe to say tens of thousands. I went to his home one evening to visit with him. I had a little time free that evening, and his wife said that he wasn't there. She said, I'm not sure where he is, but I have a feeling that he's down at the office, which was downtown in a little alley area off of the streets of Naha. It was a rainy night, and I decided that I would get on the bus and travel down to be with Bob. She said he's under such pressure from this situation. So I expected to find the man folded up in just despondency and discouragement, depression, and just ready to finish it off. I got off that little bus and I walked down the alley about a block and a half, and I turned right down a little smaller alley to a little hut with a tatami mat inside. And when I turned, it was away from the street noise, and I heard singing. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And then that next stanza, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And I have never told him this, but I eavesdrop on a praise service. And I stood in the rain and I looked through the walls of that little cheap hut. And I saw a man on his knees with his hands toward heaven, giving God praise, with his Bible on one side and an InterVarsity Christian hymnal on the other side, little spiral notebook worn from use. And I saw him turn from page to page, where he would read it to God and he would find a hymn and would sing it to God. And the remarkable thing is that that pressure that he was under did not leave for perhaps another 2 weeks, it seems. But that praise service alone before God absolutely revolutionized his life. I have mimicked that plan in my time with the Lord. The most creative thoughts I ever get, such as the thought for this whole service that we've enjoyed today, came from God as I was with him, giving thought, and then later with Mark, and later with Bill, as we shared thoughts regarding the whole service. They came in the most wonderful way while we were in praise. If you listen to a service of praise and leave, and it doesn't become a part of you in some facet, you have missed the whole purpose of a service such as this. It is good that all who have breath praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our voice toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our voice toward heaven and praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you.
The preceding message, Let's Just Praise the Lord, was copyrighted in 1975, 1993, and 2003, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2003 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.